Beginning of this month, in January, I asked this question, what was the most important thing that's ever happened to you in your life? Of course, we all agree with this as children of God, is to be saved. There's nothing more important than to know that Jesus is my Savior. Know that one day I'm going to be with Him in heaven. I would the world knew that, but a lot of people in the world don't know that. But it's our responsibility, our duty as children of God now to go into detail. And I trust that we'll be trying to be busy doing that today as we go out. We've been talking about salvation, the details of salvation, some information about salvation this past month. And next month, February, will be Stewardship Month. Well, the next week, we'll be talking about faithfulness. Faithfulness to God and to His house. Be faithful to God's house and to be faithful to God. Today, we want to read our verses in Hebrews again and then get started with the subject of details of salvation. We talked about the source of salvation. We know being God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father elected people to be saved. We know God the Son redeemed people. We know the Spirit of God has sanctified or set people apart as children of God. We talked about last week also the guarantee of our salvation based upon the proof, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did and the power of God to make sure that we get to heaven and also the inheritance that He has for us in heaven that is incorruptible. And so we'll deal with that today. We also talked about the joy of being saved. It's a great thing to be saved, isn't it? Great thing to know you're saved on the way to heaven. That's the only joy there is in this world, really. But I'm glad to know that we are saved and we can be happy in it. And we rejoice and trust the Lord that for what He's done for us. So let's read Hebrews chapter 1. Begin reading verse number 1. Before we do, let's pray. Father, once again, we thank You, Lord, for today. We thank You for the opportunity to gather together once again. We do lift up those that are not here today, Miss Billy and others in our class, Lord, that we see that are missing. I pray, Lord, You bless them today and give them strength and help to God that they might be able to be back next week if it could be Your will. Father, we commit now this time to You, this word, Your word to You today and to us as we read it together. Lord, may it find not just words that we hear, but things that we might apply to our life and be doers rather than just hearers of Your word. Bless Your people together today, Lord, as they come here. Again, as Brother Alford said, they set aside things in this world to be here, even obstacles of rain and whatever. Lord, we're grateful that we've come together now. Bless and have Your will and way in every heart and every life. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if by the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Now, over in 1 Peter now, chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Today I want us to look at not the source of salvation, not the guarantee, not the joy, but I want us to look at the blessings of salvation, the blessings of being saved. You know, the world today is trying everything it can to be blessed and to be happy. And everything they try is a failure. Everything flops, okay? Or it may be for a few days or momentarily, but it's eventually going to fail. But I'm so glad today to know that when we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as our Savior, it's an everlasting joy. It's an everlasting experience that we will never forget as long as we live on this earth. I'll never forget the day I got saved. You won't need if you're saved. It was the most wonderful day of my life. But today we want to look at the blessings of salvation. As Peter is writing here, here are two scattered believers, as well as us today. He's writing to encourage and try to direct these people in their lives. And we see in verse number 3, as we look today at what salvation gives us, what it gives us. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us unto a" what? Lively what? Hope. A lively hope. We see here, salvation brings us, gives us a hope. A hope that the world does not have. A hope that we really cannot describe to the world. But yet we see here, according to the Word of God here, Jesus Christ has given us a hope. A hope. A living hope. A lively hope. And again, we've already talked about this, and it's based upon the resurrection of Himself and the fact that He died and He arose from the grave. We have hope because of Him, because we see what He did. He died and He would come forth on the third day. And He's sitting at the Father, with the Father today on the right hand of the throne of God, making intercessions for us. That's the hope that we have, that one day we're going to be with Him, because He lives, we live also, don't we? We can live also. So we see a living hope, first of all. We also see a living word. Look at verse number 23 in chapter 1. Verse 23 says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth," and the truth is the fact of what Jesus has done, "through the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Look at verse number, verse 23. "Being born again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the" what? Word of what? Word of God. Notice, "which liveth and abideth" how long? Forever. We have a living word. We have a living hope. We have a living word also in salvation. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God lives forever. The Bible says in Psalm 89, I believe it is verse 1, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in" where? In heaven. It's settled in heaven. It lives forever. We have a living hope. We have a living word. That's what salvation brings us and gives us. We also have a living stone. In chapter 2, look at verse number 4. Look at verse 3 and 4. Chapter 2, "For if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Aren't you glad today that you know that the Lord is gracious? You've tasted. In other words, you accepted Christ as your Savior. You know He's loving, He's kind, He's good. "If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is good, to whom coming as unto a living stone," that is Jesus Christ, "a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." I like the word, "and precious." The living stone, a living stone. So we see salvation gives us a living hope, a living word, a living stone. Now, notice this hope. It comes to us through who? Notice, look at verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, "which according to His abundant" what? "Mercy." "Mercy hath begotten us" again "unto a lively hope." We see here that this hope comes to us through the mercy of God, the love of God. The fact that we have a living hope, a living word, a living stone, is based upon the mercy of God, the love of God. I would that I could understand how much God really loves me. I wish people today in the world could realize how much God really loves them. And we read the Word of God, and see what Jesus did for us and what he suffered and all he went through for mankind and try to understand how much he loves me. He loves me so much that I can't describe it. Words can't explain it. Words can't explain it. But I'm so glad today to know that he loves me. I'm so glad today that this hope comes to me by the mercy of God. This mercy, the mercy of God, he gives me. Also, look at the last part of that verse, chapter 3. We also see this hope comes to us. He says, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This hope comes to us because of the miracle of God, the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. So we see the living hope, the blessings of salvation, a living hope that's come to us from the mercy of God and by the miracle of God that he has given to us. Now, there are many things this hope can do for us. This hope, this living hope that God gives us. First of all, it gives us assurance. Turn back to 1 Corinthians, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We see here what this hope does for us, for the Christian. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 19. You see, the Bible says this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Aren't you glad that in Christ there's more than just what's in this life? There's eternal life. In heaven with him forever, you see. There's much more to life than the life that we live, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. And that's eternal life. That's everlasting life. That's with God. And we see here that he gives us assurance of this hope for the Christian. It gives us assurance of a life forever with God. A life forever with God. We also see this hope for the Christian gives abundance. Abundance. In John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have what? Life and have it more abundantly. We see here this hope for the Christian gives us abundance. Abundance of life. It gives us abundance of joy. In Psalm 36, verse number 8. Excuse me. It gives us abundance also of grace in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Remember when Paul approached the Lord about his thorn in the flesh and how he was hurting. He went three times to the Lord and God told him, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I thank God for the abundance of grace that he gives us every day of our life. You know, so we see this, that the abundance of God, see, is what this hope does for the Christian. It gives us abundance. Also, it makes us not ashamed. It makes us not ashamed. Turn back to Romans chapter 5, in verse number 5. This hope makes us not ashamed. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. I tell you, when the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, my heart, it's going to be so big that we're going to want to share it, aren't we? It's not something we're going to want to hide. It's going to be something that we want people to know about. You reflect back on the day you got saved. I reflect back on the day I got saved. I wanted people to know I was saved. I was happy in the Lord. I was bubbling over in the Lord because God's love had been shed abroad in my heart. And I wanted it to be expressed to other people. So we see that this hope that he's talking about here, makes us not ashamed of what God has done for us and what he wants to do for us in our lives. Now, we also see in 1 Peter again, where we were, Look at 1 Peter again, verse number 1, chapter 1. We look at verse number 4. We also see not only the blessings of salvation, how it gives us a living hope, but also the blessings of salvation gives us a lasting home. A lasting home. If you've lived in your house for 15, 20, 25 years, you're finding out things are giving out, aren't they? Things give out, things have to be repaired, the washer, the dryer, the refrigerator, the stove, everything gives out in this world that we buy. Something's going to happen, you know. But we'll thank God today that the blessings of salvation, we have the promise of a lasting home. A lasting home. Look at verse number 4 in 1 Peter chapter number 1. To an inheritance, notice, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. My, what a home. My, what a place. We see, first of all, this home is perfect, incorruptible. It says that means nothing can ruin it. It won't rust away. It won't rot away. It won't burn away. It won't blow away. It's going to be there. It fadeth not away. This is a lasting home that we have promised for us. This is one of the blessings of salvation. Knowing Christ is our personal Savior, we have a lasting home. A lasting home. And a home that is perfect. A home that is perfect. We will have as an individual, we'll have a perfect body. We'll have a perfect body. We're going to be housed in a body that is going to be perfect. There will be no more aches and pains. There will be no more problems physically. Once we get that home, that new body that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give us, and what a glad day that's going to be, amen? We won't have to go to the doctor. We won't have no more appointments. No more doctor appointments. No more surgeries. Nothing to take place in our life because we're going to have that perfect body with the Holy Spirit living within us, that lasting home, that lasting home. The home is perfect, we see here. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you will turn there, 1 Corinthians again, and chapter 15. Look at verse number 51. All of you know these verses, we just want to read them again. Refresh our minds of what's going to take place one day because of salvation and what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be, what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, how? Incorruptible. Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise God for that. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah for that. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I like verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the victory. He's our victory. We see here that we're going to have a lasting home, a body that will be perfect, a body that will be perfect. I'm grateful to know that. I really am. Not only this lasting home is a home that is perfect, but it's a home that is pure. A pure body. Undefiled. Undefiled, the Bible says in verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, undefiled. It cannot be stained or cheapened. The body cannot be stained. It cannot be influenced in any way. The home will be pure, undefiled. The home will be permanent also. Permanent. It says in verse 4, it fadeth not away. It fadeth not away. You know, it's amazing how we change every day, literally, physically, especially every year. It's amazing sometimes how you run across somebody you haven't seen in 10 years or 15 years, and you don't say nothing when you're there, But when you walk away, you say this, my, they have changed. Don't we? We all do that. Well, we don't see ourselves as changed, but we all change, do we not? But this new home, this new home will be a body that will fade not away, a permanent home. No fading means not able to wither away. Not able to wither away. My, a lasting home we have. The home also, not only is it perfect, pure, and permanent, but it is promised. It's promised by God. Reserved, he says in verse number 4, he says, reserved in heaven for who? For you. Reserved in heaven for me. That new home. Heaven is a safe deposit, if you will, please. Box where God is growing, giving where our inheritance will be, and we will be there with him one day. So we see the blessings of salvation, a living hope, also a lasting home one day. We also see something else about salvation, a lovely help. Look in verse number 5. Who are kept how? By the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. First of all, there's nothing we can do to be saved, right? But our faith in Christ and trust him as our Savior. By grace are you saved through faith. There's nothing we can do to stay saved. We're kept by him. We see here that we are kept. Kept by the power. This word implies action constantly going on. It's constantly going on. He's keeping us constantly. We see like a guard. He's like a guard for us, you see, as we're kept by the power of God. He says, notice the guarantee. The guarantee is through faith unto salvation. Through faith unto salvation. We see the guarantee is by grace through faith. We see this lovely help that God has provided for us through our salvation that he's given to us. See, it's by grace through faith. It's not our faith. It's faith in God. It's by grace through faith, though, that God gives us, not our own faith. You see, we also see the ultimate goal. We see in verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. The goal that we want to accomplish is to be revealed in the last day. We're saved finally to go to heaven, amen? We're going to go to heaven one day because we're saved. Now, none of us want to rush ourselves there, I'm sure. But we finally, the goal in our life is to get there one day, is it not? And we're going to be there by the grace of God. It's a guaranteed goal in our life as a Christian. We're being helped by the power of God. We're being guaranteed through faith. And the goal is to get to heaven one day. So we've been talking about salvation gives us a living hope, a lasting home, a lovely help. Now, let's look at some things elsewhere about salvation, beginning in verse number 6. Let's look at the battles of salvation. I'm so glad that salvation is a free gift from God. I'm so glad that I'm saved, and I know you are. But I did not know, and you did not know before you got saved, what was going to take in your life after you got saved. Some things are going to happen to you that were unexpected. And things have happened to me that's been unexpected. There's been some battles since salvation, has there not? Some battles. But I'm so glad as we claim verse 1 John, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We don't fight these battles ourselves. But we fight these battles because we're children of God. We're children of God. We look at some of the battles of salvation. Look at verse number 6. Verse number 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Now notice, this refers to being saved. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Don't sound like it. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Amen. Therefore, we greatly rejoice in the fact that we are saved by the grace of God, you see. We see here, Now, what's taking place from it? And we're kept by the power of God, okay? We have a place reserved in heaven because we are saved. Therefore, we are not to look around us, but we're to look ahead in truth, what God has done for us. The facts that we're saved, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all had a part in salvation. We're guaranteed inheritance in heaven, a place in heaven. All these things are good. But let's look at the battles in salvation. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice. Now notice the next words, though now for a what? A season. Though now for a season. The battle, first of all, with preparation. Preparation. There's many battles going on in our life. The battle with preparation. We see here, God is preparing us for the life and service yet to come. God did not save you and save me to go right straight to heaven. Amen? If he had, we'd already be there. But God has saved us to live here, to be conformed into his image, and to present the gospel to every man, woman, boy, and girl that we can. That's why we're here. But see, we see as children of God now, there's a battle. There's a battle that's going to take place. We see here in verse number 6, wherein you greatly rejoice that you're saved, of course, though now for a season, if need be. If need be, we find here. We see God, we're getting prepared in the Christian life as we go through this life. And how does God prepare us to live the Christian life? What does he allow to come into our lives? Somebody tell me. Trials. Trials. That's how we're prepared. We're prepared to live the Christian life through trial. If we never had a trial, we would not know how to live, how to be a Christian, how to live a Christian life. We might go back like we were before we got saved, you see. But God allows these things to come into our life. God is preparing us. Trials are God's tools in the school of the Christian experience. We're going through a school as a Christian. And that school is because of trials in our life. The battle with preparation. The battle preparing us to live our lives every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting prepared in the Christian living. We're living, we learn by trials. Trials in our life. Notice it said, first of all, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, we're saved, though now for a season. And notice it says, if need be. If need be. What is he referring to here? It's referring to here that trials are necessary. Trials are necessary in our life as a believer, you see. God knows when we need trials. And allows these things to come to us for many reasons. He allows trials to come into our lives sometimes to direct us. We may be going one way and God wants us to go another way. He allows these trials to come to direct us in our life. If need be, he said, if need be, as our Christian experience, we see here this battle comes with preparation. Preparing us daily to walk with the Lord, if need be. God knows when we need trials in our life. We need them sometimes to direct us. We need them sometimes to grow us, to mature us in our faith, you see. What kind of faith would it be not never be tested? It'd be a weak faith, would it not? But sometimes God gives these things, allow these things to come to our life to test us, to prove us. You see, sometimes it's to discipline us in our lives. But we see here, we rejoice in salvation for a season. If need be, we're going to grow. We're going to grow. And we're going to grow through experiences by experiencing trials in our life. So we see, first of all, that trials are necessary. They're necessary. We see also that as we look at trials, we see they are numerous. They are numerous. Notice it says in verse number 6, wherein you are greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Sometimes they are numerous. You ever notice how things like come in, like bananas, they come in bunches when things begin to happen? It can be funerals, it can be things that are coming up in your life. It's like bang, 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 you know, they come like that. You go a long time in your life, everything's going fine, and all of a sudden, bam, here they come. Here they come. You see, we see here, they're numerous sometimes. God is trying to help us to realize, hey, you've been through that trial and you've made it, but that's not the last one. That's not the last one. In this life as a Christian, you're going to have another one. You're going to have another one. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be ready, you know, because I'm going to help you through it. You're not going to go through it yourself, but I'm going to help you get through it if you have faith in me and trust me, you see. So we see these trials are necessary. They're numerous in our life. And we see here the reason God gives them to us. We see also in verse number 6, the last part of that verse says, if need be, ye are in heaviness. They're not easy. They're not easy. Have you ever, anybody here have a trial that was easy? No, they're not easy, are they? They're not easy. You see, not in heaven, it says, but not in heaviness. Not in heaviness. One thing we have to realize as a believer is this. When we deny a painful situation that we're going through in our life, we try to deny it, okay? We try to cover it up. We need to realize this. It's going to make us become weak. We need to recognize the pain, accept the pain, and trust God with the pain that we're going through, you see? And not try to cover it up. We were talking yesterday. Have you ever failed, maybe out in the parking lot somewhere, or failed anywhere, and the first thing you do when you hit the ground, what do? You look around, right? You look around to see who's looking, right? Who saw you? And then you get up. You see, we try to cover it up, right? I never failed. I'm okay, right? Well, that's the way it is sometimes with trials in our life. We try to cover them up. But when we do that, we become weak. Now, I'm not saying we ought to go share our trials with everybody. I'm not saying that at all. Number one, we should share it with God. Let Him take care of our trials, you see. But we don't cover it up. Don't try to say, well, it's never happened, you know. I'm going to be okay. Because things do happen, and they're not easy. They're necessary, though. They're numerous. And we need to recognize, as Christians, we must face difficulties in life many times. As long as we live, we're going to be faced with trials. We're going to be faced with situations that we don't understand, you know. But we need to recognize that, hey, God is within me through His Spirit, and God is going to go through me, with me, through this thing I'm going through right now. No matter how small it may be or how big it may be. There's victory in Jesus, amen? Forever. The Bible tells us this, you see. So we see the trials are necessary. They're numerous. They're not easy. And thank God, they're not everlasting. Verse number 6 says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. For a season. It's going to pass. It's going to pass. Yes, this trial is going to pass, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to get another trial. And that's going to pass, and you're going to get another trial. That's part of preparation. Preparation to live the Christian life here in this world in which we live. We need to be prepared. It's like a soldier going to battle. You know, you've got to get some training. You've got to get some experience. Amen? In order to be a good soldier. Well, same thing with a soldier for the Lord. You've got to go through these things to get experience in your life so we can mature the Lord and be what God wants us to be. You see, be that example for other people. that just got saved, other people that are going through things that maybe you've already been through, you see, that you can help them. You can help them. So we see here how important it is with the battle with preparation. It is a blessing just being a candidate to be refined. Don't you want to be made different? Don't you want to be made better? Like gold tried in fire? Don't you want to be stronger every day in your life as a Christian? Well, that's why these trials come, folks. These are preparing us to be better every day, every day, every day in our life. And Peter is writing here and encouraging these Christians here about this very fact of this battle of preparation. We also see the battle of realization. The battle of realization. When things come in our life, we say, why? Don't we? First thing we say is, why is this happening to me? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Why is God letting this happen to me? The precious trial, the battle with realization. Turn to John 15 and we'll close here today. In John 15, the battle with realization. Learning to accept what's happening to me. Learning to accept the trial that I'm facing in my life. This is a very difficult thing for Christians, all of us, to do. But it's necessary. We see here in John 15, getting to verse number 1, we're talking about the battle with realization. Jesus says in verse 1, John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Is that not true? That's very true. Now notice number 5. Jesus said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now what are we? We're the branches. We're the branches. Jesus says, I am the vine, and ye are the what? Branches. We're the branches. Now notice, he says, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, Jesus, if you abide in me, and I in him, or you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Right? If Jesus abides in us and we abide in him, he said we can bring forth much fruit. Right? But notice what he also says. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Now we're talking about trials. We're talking about battles with realization. When we go through a hard time in life, trials or whatever, battle, we must realize first of all this. The very fact that Jesus says right here, for without me, ye can do nothing. No matter how little, how big the trial, the circumstance you're going through is, we must realize, first of all, that without God, we can do nothing. We're totally dependent upon Him. Amen? We're totally dependent upon Him in whatever we're facing in our life. And I'm thankful today to know that God in heaven knows what you're going through today. He knows what we're all going through today. And don't you forget this. May God help me not forget it. For without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, all things are possible. All things are possible. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Lord, thank you for preparing us in this life to live for you. Lord, through these things we have to venture out and have in our life. Lord, we know they're for our good. And therefore, your glory. And God, I pray you give us the grace, give us understanding, Lord, to realize, Lord, that you're trying to prepare us every day. Lord, that we might live for you in our life somehow may shine in the presence of somebody else, that they may see Christ in us. You're trying to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ in these things that we're facing. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for helping us every day in our life, dear God. Bless your people this week. Give them strength. Give them help. Give them the desires of their heart. Lord, as we wait upon you now for the service we're about to go into, may your word find lodging in our hearts and our lives. And God, may we serve you, Lord, as we never have before until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.